when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Now, if he had just written, if the Holy Spirit had just written verse 1, that's not a lot of help. I mean, it's like, just count it all joy and get over it, right? Just, you know, you've heard some of that. People just, they don't know what to say to you. And just say, you should cheer up. Or, you know, what are you doing underneath the circumstances? You know, that kind of comment. It's not very helpful, you know. But if you use what the Holy Spirit gives us, we have a purpose for these instructions. And we have a purpose for the test. And the purpose is, for you know the testing of your faith produces something. Okay, so I still, at that point, you don't want to go, well, bring it on, right? Anybody said to the Lord, bring it on? Bring all the tests you got. I've heard some songs, Let It Rain, you know, and those kinds of things. And I think they're helpful. I love those songs, Stephen Curtis Chapman and others. I love that kind of, it helps us, but we're still a little afraid, like, wait a minute now, what am I asking for here? I'm asking for the Lord to beat me up. No, I'm asking for the Lord to strengthen me, and in his will, he will do that. And in his mind, in his heart of love, he will do that. He's going to test you. If you bear the name of Christ, you're going to be tested. Hebrews chapter 12. He's going to test you. You're his. Do you ever say, our Father which art in heaven? Are you a child of the Lord? Have you been born again? Then you're his child. And he's going to test you. Because he's your Father. He's your Abba Father. And he loves you. And he's going to test you. So we just say, do it gently, please. You know, do it gently. Sometimes we feel like life has it out for us. Like, you know, God hates me. Have you ever thought that? Like, the Lord is against me? When I was a Christian, I thought the Lord was against me. Like, I can't be saved. I don't know how many times in a charismatic church I came up to the altar. You have to ask my friends. You know, at least a dozen. I don't know. You go to a church camp, oh, there goes Raymond. He's up there again, you know. Because we just feel like I am dirt, you know. I am dirt. You can't save me. But you have to go to the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well? Your bucket isn't, you know, you don't have a bucket. The water's deep and you can't get there from here. That's what she's saying to the Lord. He says, I'm going to give you living water. And what'd she say? Well, that's a pretty deep well and you don't have a bucket. You can't do it. Oh, yeah. He can do it. And he wants to do it. The question is, are you willing to let him do it? You have to be willing. And if you kick against the goads, he's going to make you willing. He's going to humble you. And you never want him to let you go. He wants to test your faith. You're going to be a witness for the Lord. You're going to witness his steadfastness in your life, and you're going to become more steadfast. You're going to grow in him. He's going to test your faith and strengthen it. It is a training and testing field. That's what life is. It's a training and testing field. And so never say, God is beating up on me. You know, that's sin. That's sin. That's why Job got taken to the cleaners. That's why at the end, he said, who is this that darkens my counsel, the Lord said. Because Job said God was unjust. That's what he was getting at. And we can't say that. That's wrong. We need to say, Lord, maybe I don't understand. Or we could say, Lord, please back off a little. Lord, take your hand off a little. Give me some relief. You can pray that way. So we're going to use James as to test our faith. See, the standard is the Word of God. Isaiah 28:17. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. So it's like you set out a tape, your tape measure, and it goes, let's say, 24 feet. You have a measure, every foot, every inch, every eighth of an inch is measured. And then you have the righteousness that comes, the plumb line that comes down on that tape. So your distance and plumb, you are right on the mark. That plumb line is not off the tape. It is right and it's measured. And he wants you to move along that line. And he wants you to do that in right truth. So you can have a measuring line and go, well, look how far I got. And you run down there, but you're not plumb. You're off plumb. Your house is crooked. I'm 62. I'll use me. 62. That's a lot of years for some of you young people. To me, it doesn't seem so, but 62 years is quite a while. That's almost as old as Israel is. And so I've run down the track a little bit. Have I always done it plumb? No. But the job is to be measured by the Lord, increase your measurement, and be plumb. Be online. Isaiah 5:16, but the Lord of hosts will be exalted by justice. That's justice. I'm being just and I'm being right by the Lord. He will show himself holy in righteousness. So you say, well, that's the Lord. Doesn't he say, be holy as I am holy? Okay, so when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he didn't cuss people out. He didn't use cuss words. He didn't get drunk. He didn't commit adultery. He wasn't a fornicator. Actually, by the way, as in opposition to what the world is calling him today. Many believers in some denominations are saying, well, Jesus had to be a sinner. No, you and I are taking the case that he was not. And we need to be like him. And you say, well, I can't be like him. He wants you like him. So, but here's the deal. We're going to talk about perfection in a second. Perfection is like way down there. Perfection to us, but not to the Lord. Not for you and me. Perfection is, you're down the line, you're on the measuring line where he wants you, doing what he wants you to do. That's perfect for you. He doesn't want you doing what you can't do or what you know. He wants you down the line, measured rightly. Okay? He wants you down the line of justice. This is just for you. This is justice for your life and righteousness. You're acting right according to his word, his standard. Let's talk about the standard for a minute. We use the Ten Commandments kind of like a standard, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so it goes down the line. Okay, there's a measurement. All right? And then righteousness is you're gonna not commit adultery. You're not gonna use the Lord's name in vain, you know, and all these things. And we say, well, that's the law. We don't live by the law. Oh, wait a minute. You're not saved by the law. You best be living by the law. And what I mean by that is, he has not done away with his law. The law is his standard. So find out what is to please the Lord. Does the law please the Lord? Yes. He made it. But we're not saved by it. I can't keep all 10. I hope I can, but I can't keep them. I haven't kept them. I don't know how many Sabbaths I broke, according to whoever. Or how many cuss words I've used. Or how many wrong thoughts, according to Jesus, I've had. I'm not going to start counting. I never quit. So he wants you to move down that line in justice and righteousness according to his word. We're not saved by it, but we love him. Habakkuk says, remember, the just shall live by faith. I'm going to live by righteousness. Who may ascend to my holy hill? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And so we say, well, I don't have a pure heart. If you're moving down that line because of him and for him, your heart is pure. Your heart is pure. Now you just have to say, I'm not going to go over to the left or the right. This is what he wants. This is the righteousness that I have to do right here at this measurement. If walking by the Spirit, you will have fruit. You're going to act different. you're going to be different. It comes in line with testing the fruit. You test your fruit. That's a bad pair. It is out of here. I'm not going to say that again. I'm not going to use that again. I'm not going to do that again. Or I'm going to do that. Remember, he says, put on. We test our fruit. So we read James. And if you read James, if you read Matthew chapter 5 and 6, if you read Paul's 2 Corinthians, and you're not convicted, if we're not convicted, we have given up. We've given up. We need to read these letters and be convicted by the Spirit. I still have work to do because I bear his name. Let me give you a couple examples. Matthew chapter 5. Here's the test. Do you mourn over your sin? Are you meek? Are you haughty? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness, the plumb line? Are you merciful? Are you salt of the earth? Do you have hate in your heart for anyone? Are you overly angry? There's a righteous anger. Are you overly angry? Do you lust? Do you swear falsely? Do you want revenge? Do you love your enemy? Matthew 6:1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. See that? Practicing the plumb line. I'm practicing it. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Then 5:16, Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now the words of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, sensuality, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness. There's the test. All in just a short paragraph. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And I'll give you one more. 2 Corinthians 12:20. I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I wish, and you may not find me as I wish, angry at them. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, rage, rivalry, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder, impurity, sexual immorality, and debauchery. And what we want to do, especially as we get older, we want to skip over those. I know those. And what I'm suggesting, and I think the Holy Spirit would like us to do, is that's my word to you. Slow down. Slow down, because I'm going to anchor you on one today. Take out your pen and paper. Don't do this. Is this sometimes why we don't read the Bible? We're like, oh, that last one hurt. I'm just going to put it up for a while. Or I'm going through enough trials. I don't need any more. But think about the promise here. You're going to be steadfast. And then there's a blessing coming. I've talked to some people. I've even had some family members. And they get themselves into either a family situation or a relationship where they feel safe. They get themselves in a situation where they feel safe. They get themselves into a dark place and they're safe. I'm going to go in and shut the door and nobody's coming in. And, you know, I'm going to do what I want in there. You know, drink a little. You know, do the things that just make me feel better physically. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to read the word. I'm going to let the Spirit talk to me. And then he's going to bless me. It might be a slower medicine. It might be a tougher medicine. But it's better than the world offers, right? We want what Christ offers. By this we know him, if we keep his commandments, be doers of the world, the word. The tests, John MacArthur says this, these kinds of tests center around relationships. The relationship to sin, relationship to your old friend, whatever that sin was, that habit, it centers around the law. It centers around relationships. It centers around the church, your brothers and sisters. These things are tests of the genuineness of a saving faith. And if you desire these things, then Psalm 119, we desire His word and His statutes, and they're going to change you. So the premise will be that we work through James, let the Holy Spirit tell us how to act. We're going to give into the Word of God, give into the Holy Spirit, and let Him tell us how to act, because we've got some stuff going on in the nation and in front of us that we need to gird our loins with the gospel, shod our feet with the gospel, gird our loins and be ready for what is coming and be in right relationship with the Lord. We're going to act according to a newfound, our God, our newfound hope, and our newfound religion. I want to touch on religion for a minute. Since I've been a Christian, and in particular over the last few years, I've seen this over and over and over. Every once in a while, I'll give you like either a pun or some kind of statement that we've had, a proverb, you know, like the one that says, a man is, if you're too heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good. Remember, you might remember that. I've brought it up a couple times. That's stupid. You know, the more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we are. Well, here's another one. I'm not part of a religion. I'm part of a relationship. Now, what part of it is true and what part of it is false? Okay, I am in a relationship with Jesus Christ, but we do have a religion. We do have a religion. And God tells us, and we'll get to that. Religion, here's what religion means. The belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power. Do you have that? Yes. Especially a personal God or gods. Do you have the personal God? Yes. We have a similar faith, a similar belief. There is a divinity. We worship Him. There's a creed. There's teaching. There's doctrine, theology, a religious group. We're non-denominational. We're part of a church. There's a body. There's a following of Jesus Christ. There's an affiliation with the Christian faith. A particular Christian faith, I mean, a particular system of faith and worship. Is that us? Yes. A pursuit of interest which someone ascribes supreme importance. Is that you? Yes. We subscribe to this, and it is of extreme importance, supreme importance. James 1:26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart, and his religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. See, we have a religion. So when somebody says, we're not part of a religion, yes, we are. The Lord even said that we are. We are in relationship with Jesus Christ according to this religion. Now, what Paul says is this, 2 Corinthians 13. For he was indeed crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. And though we are weak in him, Christ, yet by God's power we will live with him to serve you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith, in your religion. Examine yourselves. So take out your pen and paper every once in a while. Do not be afraid of it. In fact, we're commanded to do it. Test yourselves. Can't you see for yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you actually fail the test? And I hope you realize that we have not failed the test. Remember the fruit? So if we go along and say, well, I don't want to read this and I don't want to read James, Matthew 5 and 6 is out. 2 Corinthians 13 is out. I'm not reading these things because they hurt. They hurt. Let them hurt. Let them hurt. Why? For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Think about that. Now remember, you're not going to get the full measurement. That's Jesus down there. He's actually the measuring line. But what you want to be is where God wants you. In the measuring line and right and walking rightly on it. Perfectly plumb on that justice line. You are walking and you are where you're at. That's perfect. See, you don't want to be down there because God doesn't want you down there. And you can't be up there, but so don't even try. Just be where he wants you. Just be right where he wants you. This is where he's working on me. This is the test I have today. Take out your pen and paper, take the test, and then submit to it. Holy Spirit, I hear you. Help me do this work. Help me to do it. No, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. We want to be steadfast. We want to be steadfast. I'll end with this. Have you ever seen a chaotic life? Have you ever been a chaotic life? I mean, there's portions where, you know, we're all chaotic. The most chaotic life is a double-minded person. That's what James is going to say. They're unstable in all their ways. And so once we get on that measuring line, according to God's righteousness, we walk there no matter how much it hurts. We say, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be unstable anymore. I'm sick and tired of being chaotic in my life, in my spirit, in my faith. Does he love me? Does he love me? It's like a tulip, you know, or whatever. He loves me, he loves me not. That's not God. God's love never changes. Ours wavers because we're unstable. So let's go along this journey and let's look for the perfection that he has for you in your life. And let's become a little bit more steadfast as we see the world change into chaos. Let's do this together for a few months and we'll praise him for it. Lord God, we thank you and we worship you. And I pray that you start with me, Lord God. You're still hammering away. You're still disciplining me. I hope that there's a little bit less chastisement. Lord, I don't want to be unstable. Mostly because I love you. Mostly because we love you, Lord. We want to look like you. Not in physique or those things that are worldly, Lord, but in the things that count before our Father. We want to please the Father. So, Lord, help us to guard our lips, to guard our life, to guard our stomachs, to guard our body, a temple of the Lord, and help us to walk rightly before you so that we can be a light and salt in this world. I pray for anybody right now, Lord, who just can't get over the fact that you love them. They think they can't be loved. Lord, please let them know that your sacrifice was all-encompassing for those who turn to you. It's all-encompassing. You don't select except those that turn to you. And so we love you, Lord. I hope that you will just strengthen each of our hearts and our spirit before you in these days, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.